Good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. Several announcements we make. We have lots of things going on. Want to draw your attention to. Number one, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. It's a very simple way we do that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad if you don't mind. Write your name down. Give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started, and we do ask the first person when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for that. When I say there's a lot going on, there's a lot going on. But the biggest thing is today, it's baptism and communion. We're excited about that. That is a highlight of worship today. Draw your attention to a couple of other things. Many of these are listed in your bulletin. Want you to know we are having the Stepping Stones House. We're having open house from 3 until 5. That's the home just adjacent to the parking lot. At 5 o'clock, there will be a dedication service here in the sanctuary. So we want you to come see the incredible job that our people have done on the house and then the service in here from 5 until 5:30. I mentioned that today was baptism and communion. As has become our tradition on baptism days and communion days, we invite people to give out of to our benevolence offering. So as you leave the sanctuary today, any money you'd like to go to benevolence needs here in the church and our community, there some of our teenagers will be at the doors and there in the lobby in the back. If you want to come and give money just as a response to worship today, that will be available to you. Next Sunday, our Belize team will be in Belize. So it's hard to believe that we leave early Saturday morning. And so we will miss being a part of worship next week. But know that we are not skipping church. We will be in church next Sunday morning. We ask for your prayers as we travel, as our high school mission team travels to Belize next week. Let me see. Oh, come on, Krista.
Anyway, I have a timely announcement that I want to be sure to make is Sunday after next, which is the 26th, we have the honor and privilege of hosting about 30 missionaries from across this whole continent. The Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, North Carolina, is part of this, but the general international group of Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, these are missionaries from all over. They serve students and people from countries across the world that end up in our nation. And we have this privilege, but the main thing is, next Sunday, they will be sharing in Sunday school. The youth and adults are invited to Smith Hall to come and to hear about the work and lives of a few of those missionaries. And then they'll be sharing some in worship. And then that night, here's the big one, we invite you to a covered dish dinner. And we hope that you will come and welcome these 30 missionaries who gave their life for service. And we support them in our budget regularly. So come and see who it is you're supporting and we're sending our money to. And the information is on the insert right here. But we're going to have just fun with them that night. It's going to be real laid back and casual. But we're going to mingle with the missionaries. So now's your chance.
And that's 2 weeks, right?
That's right.
2 weeks. 2 weeks from today. Make note of that very special day here at College Park. We've got lots of things going on for our kids. Many things are listed in your bulletin. Preschool day camp starts this week. That's open for infants through our kindergartners. We have sports camp in 2 weeks. The youth stuff is kicking off. Many things are happening. There's one in particular. Cameron, bring your crew on up. We have something that's going to be for the entire church every Wednesday night. And Cameron's going to tell us a little bit more about that.
Good morning. Okay, so I've been practicing a lot for Stay and Play and the Minute to Win It challenge that's coming up on June 22nd. So I'm pretty worn out from all my practicing. So I got my friends here to do it for me. What they're going to be doing is they're going to play a game called Face the Cookie. What they have to do is they have to take an Oreo cookie, put it on their forehead, and then slide it down their face and try and eat it without using their hands. So I'm gonna give each of them a cookie. Yeah, you guys have a minute. Are you guys ready? Yes, you are. On your mark, get set, go. Keep trying. Okay. Don't quit.
Easy.
You got it. Keep going. Oh, you almost had it. Come on, lean back. Lean farther back. You got it. Keep going. You can still use it.
Oh, we lost.
Can I have a new one?
I'll get it in a second. It's right there.
Stop. You're wasting your time. 15 seconds.
15 seconds.
Got it.
Keep going.
Just eat the cookie. Just eat it.
Can I do that?
Oh, so close. Up.
5, 4. All right, good job, guys. Now remember, you still have until June 22nd to perfect that. So every Wednesday night this summer, we'll have Bible study at 6 o'clock, bring your own dinner at 6 o'clock, followed by Bible study, and stay and play. We're going to have all kinds of games and stuff for everybody in the church, such as Minute to Win It is going to be the first night, volleyball, trivia, bingo, stuff like that. So I hope that I see you all there at 7 o'clock Wednesday nights.
No, you have to sing.
Choir wanted the Oreos.
Okay.
I'm very excited about Stay and Play. This is designed for everybody to participate. You may not be able to eat an Oreo off of your forehead, but you can cheer people on. There's going to be a trivia night that's going to, everybody's going to be able to contribute. So we hope it's going to be an hour tops after the Bible study. We hope that you're making plans to attend as a family, as friends, as Sunday school classes. We're looking forward to that. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Golf day is coming up next week. Volleyball night. Lots of things that are happening. Very excited about what's going on here at College Park this summer. I think that's all the announcements. Let me double check. It is. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. And we're so thankful for you being a part of worship today. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. And our ushers are going to recognize you. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation. And a little bit of the story of College Park. Thank you so much for being a part of worship today. You know, throughout Jesus' ministry, he often takes time for kids. And he looks to children as examples that we should follow. We are excited now that our children get to lead us in worship. Let us prepare for what God's going to do through them to us.
Stars are his handiwork too. The God is so great.
so mighty, there's nothing that God cannot do for you.
Aren't we glad that God has come to our house today? Amen. Thankful for our children who remind us to focus on Him and Him alone. Will you pray with me? Father, this is your house. We want you to have your way. Father, whether it's the voices of children or the laughter of fellowship, or the cries of a soul that needs comfort, the thing that unites us is our need for you and our need for you to be in this place. We invite you to come into worship, hear us, see us. May everything that we do be done to glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heard me say that this is one of my favorite services because it's an opportunity for us as a body of believers to celebrate the process of discipleship. So this morning we have two sisters who come, and as I said last week, as they came to present themselves before the church, all 9 of their years have been right here. Each of them is 9 years old, and they've never known another church other than College Park. And many of you have been a part of this process. You've kept them in the nursery. You've taught them in Sunday school. You've taught them in choirs. And in just a moment, we're going to ask you to to join their mom in standing in celebration of a charge that she'll present to them. But before we do that, let me introduce the girls to you. Y'all come on down. We're kind of winging here, seeing if they're tall enough to survive the water. So. Yeah, no problem.
No problem. You jump right up there on that. Right there. Jump right up there. There we go.
All right. This is Aaliyah and Michaela Sabarabiati, and they come this morning both having privately accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now they come publicly to let you know of that and also to follow the example of their Lord in baptism. So if you've had a part of their spiritual journey, no matter what capacity that was, I want to invite you as part of the family to stand, please. And Mom, if you would come and present a challenge and charge to your children.
Michaela and Aaliyah, you have always filled my life with surprises. Back in September of 2006, I was told that we beat incredible odds by having another set of identical twins. I am constantly being told how blessed I am by my family, and I often respond that I am proof that God has a sense of humor. But I know that I am blessed beyond measure because of you. As exciting as the news of you was, the absolute most frightened I've ever been was on January 5th, 2007, when I thought I'd lost you. For 15 days, I laid stiller than I've ever laid in my life. And I prayed and I begged and I pleaded with God that he would let you survive and that one day I'd be able to hold you. You don't know this, but this church prayed for you too. They visited us in the hospital, they prayed for you, and they just held on to us. You were dedicated in this very sanctuary on Mother's Day that year, and this church has loved you and cheered for you and prayed for you your entire life. For Aaliyah, you are proof that your grandmother is a praying woman. She always hoped and prayed that I'd have a child just like me. And it took each of your three older sisters to take a part of my personality. But I think with you, you are the truth of her prayer. You are the most stubborn and the most creative person I've ever known. No one else can sport a football jersey and a pink skirt the way you can. And when you call timeout during a football game and go to the sidelines to feed your baby doll, all the boys can do is they just sit down and wait until you're done. You stated to me that your favorite Bible verse is, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me," which is John 14:1. My prayer for you is that you will always remember these words and carry them with you as you find your way in this world. You have always prided yourself on being the baby of our family by those 2 minutes. And yet you have never walked in anyone else's footsteps, and you've never let their shadow fall upon you. I think your uniqueness is what makes you so special. Just like each of your siblings, I believe God created you for a unique purpose in his kingdom. When I think of you, I think of the song that Miss Leanne taught you, "The Fruit of the Spirit." The fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Some of these come easy to you. Others you will have to harness as you grow up in your faith. I am so proud of the choice you have made to follow Christ today. And I love you, baby girl.
Aaliyah, because you've publicly professed Christ as your Lord and Savior and decided to follow him, it's a pleasure and honor to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Aaliyah, Mr. Jim is here, and he is going to present to you a candle. And that candle is symbolic of the fact that you are going to let your light shine before the world, okay?
Michaela, you are such a fighter. You came into this world at 2 pounds, 6 ounces, way earlier than you should have, and yet you have never, ever let your small size determine your worth. You fought to survive in those first few days, and you have never looked back. You have fought obstacles in school and with your siblings to show that you are as good, as strong, and as capable as anyone else. When I think of you, I think of the Bible passage from 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that everyone who runs in the race runs, but only one wins the race? Therefore, you should run in such a way that you should win. One day, when you are much older, you will be able to look back on your life and realize that you did win the race despite all the odds, and that you overcame every obstacle that came in your way. Recently, you shared with me your favorite Bible verse was Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of me but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? This is also my favorite Bible verse. And it was about the time that I was baptized that I realized that. This week, you earned the Caring Award for your class at school because you are the one who cares for others, especially the underdog. You have such love for other people. You are filled with kindness and compassion, and I know that God has great plans for you because you're able to fight incredible odds just to be here today. My prayer is that you will always remember to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I love you, little one.
Michaela, because you've accepted Christ and requested to be baptized in obedience to his example, it is a pleasure and honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Michaela, Miss Leanne and Miss Whitney are here to present to you your candle. Would you pray with me? Most gracious Father, we come humbly to you because this time is truly humbling, because we recall our own baptism. We recall that special moment in our lives when we surrendered our will to yours. Father, help us now, even as we've witnessed these young ladies being obedient, that, Father, you would renew in us the passion, the fire, the desire to be obedient to you, to bless others, even as you've blessed us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So I was standing back there thinking, what am I going to pray about? I try to have something pre-prepared. And after watching the service there and what Beth was saying in the baptism, it sort of said, you know what? You just roll with it, because that pretty much took care of everything right there. So if you would, bow your heads. Father, thank you for this day, this service, this congregation of our church. Father, you ask us to shine our light to everyone. And that's an easy thing to do when life is going along just fine. But we're not promised an easy, pain-free life. It's most important to let our light shine and be that glimmer of hope in the tough times, so that others see that our faith and that our belief is the true way to your Son. Baptism and communion are two events that define our faith, who we are. It's a renewal of our spirit, and it's meant to be shared with all. Thank you so much for both of these events, and thank you for your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.
the Lord and be not silent. Sing to the Lord and glorify. Sing to the Lord, all ye his children. Sing to the Lord, O Most High. Sing to the Lord, O Most High. Give thanks to him and be not silent. Give thanks to him and magnify. Sing to the Lord.
Is a verse that if you grew up in Sunbeams or Mission Friends or RAs or GAs or whatever we call it into the next generation, you probably learned. But I'm going to back up a couple of verses before I get to those. It comes from Matthew chapter 28. Some of you are already nodding knowingly. Verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." That's a sermon in and of itself. They were where they were supposed to be. Verse 17, "When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the and of the and of the and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.'" Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's another sermon. Discipleship is a process of teaching. It is not a passive process. It's an active one. And what you've seen before you today is a demonstration of the result of active teaching in the lives of these young ladies. And finishing up, it says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's another sermon. Surely I am with you to the end of the age. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Why did Jesus bother to say that? It's because he knew we can't do it. We are not capable of doing what he's commanded us to do apart from his leadership, apart from the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen? We need to acknowledge, church, right, you know, just from the get-go, it's not about us. It never has been. It never will be. It's all about Jesus. It's about his power in our lives to give witness and testimony to his name to other people. It is about him. And he provides the power for that. As I was reflecting on these sisters who have come together and the part that this church has played in the brotherhood and the fellowship and the sisterhood that's a part of the church, and then I began to think about baptism. You know, baptism, it's kind of come under fire by a lot of different groups and everything else, and you probably don't hear about it, but I hear about it in my circle. Saying things like, well, you know, I don't know why that church requires baptism and blah, blah, blah. And there's biblical reasons for that. But then, you know, as I began to look at the process, I want us to go take a little field trip in our minds, okay? Do a little mind work, a little visualization this morning. I want you to take a little field trip to the side of the ancient community of Qumran, in the Judean wilderness at the edge of the Dead Sea. I think if we went there, if we were truly able to walk there in that place, we would be struck by the efforts that that community of religious separatists, if you will, in their time they were, the effort that they went to bring water into their community to serve both their physical and their spiritual needs. The community was known for their sacred meals also. Does that sound familiar? Where they would get together and as a fellowship join around the table to enjoy a meal together and to give thanks to God. So they did this. We know that they joined together for that celebration because we found the stoneware and everything that they used to eat and drink there. We also know that they undertook the copying of the scriptures. They were faithful in writing down, in copying these biblical scrolls. They also had a part in writing the manuals and copying the manuals of behavior for the community. Those collections have become known in the last century as the Dead Sea Scrolls. Much biblical scholarship, much biblical modern scholarship is dependent upon the Dead Sea Scrolls. What also calls for attention, I think, if we could go back to their community and see them at the time that they were there, was a very well-crafted water system that brought water winding down from the hills, cascading over kind of this stepped stone design, which was designed for sediment filtration. Pretty ingenious, actually. And then it flowed through channels into the cisterns for bathing and drinking, and then went on into the spiritual ritual baths known as mikvah baths. These baths were designed for self-immersion, for self-baptism, if you will. They would literally immerse themselves as part of a ritual of spiritual cleansing. It actually is quite fascinating that they did this on a daily basis, maybe even more frequently, as a process, understanding before God, they are not perfect. It's not about them. It is about God. And this site at Qumran becomes a great place in our minds to remember a great moment and to visually aid us in distinguishing between Jewish cleansing baths, and distinguishing that from Christian baptism. Jewish cleansing was active. It was self-initiated when they felt the need or when it was a part of a regular schedule. Christian baptism is passive in that another person performs the rite for the benefit of the recipient, just as I did for these young ladies today. And understanding the distinction between those two, it literally changed everything, not only in practice, but also perspective. Such a passive submission as we do now to the grip of another is a great reminder to us that we cannot save ourselves, no matter how hard we try. Thus, Jesus saying, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth. I know you can't do it yourself, so I'll be with you. He knows we can't save ourselves. We must, in faith, trust in the merit of Jesus Christ, our relationship with Him. It is a reminder that forgiveness comes from God and is not something that we can muster up by however many thousands of good deeds that you want to lay out there. I was struck this week. To watch the funeral and the speaking and everything that happened around the service for Muhammad Ali. And after all that I heard, speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker, and it went on for quite a while, speaker after speaker went on to say all the marvelous deeds that he had done, all the wonderful things he had done, and indeed he did. He did a lot of really good things for a lot of people. But you know, at the end of the day, I was really sad. Because out of all those speakers of all different faiths, interestingly enough, all different faiths, none of them said the only thing that counted. And that was whether he had faith in Jesus Christ. You see, gang, that's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that matters when we leave here. Granted, it's good to do good things because Jesus commanded it. You know, love the Lord your God with all that you have and all that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. I understand that. But at the end of the day, when we go before our Maker, what matters? It is that we have accepted His Son as the atonement for our sin. Otherwise, we will have to pay. Christian faith is unique. It's about a relationship. It is exactly the opposite of self-reformation and self-glorification. So when we rightly understand the ordinance of baptism, the fact that it signifies identification with Jesus Christ, and the fact that He both modeled it and mandated it. He modeled it before John and all the witnesses that were there that day. He went before them and said, I want you to baptize me because it is an act of fulfilling righteousness. And it allows me to identify with the remnant who are here that are going to be putting their faith in me, who are going to be following me, who are going to be putting their faith in the Father's. John preached it. Jesus modeled it. Forgiveness of sin. Jesus mandated it in the Great Commission that we read, verses 18 through 20 especially, as he mandated it as the initiatory sign of the discipleship process. It is the beginning of their public testimony, their public witness, our public witness before other people. And it's interesting that baptism is an exercise in triune theology, if you will. Because we baptize in the name of the, and of the, and of the. That's not an accident that that's in the text. You see, the ordinance, the practice, the act of baptism becomes a confession of faith in that baptism. In the name of all three members of the Godhead, expresses a faith that Jesus is equal to the Father and the Spirit, and they to Him. A belief in the doctrine of the Trinity is a core confession of faith that distinguishes Christianity from all other religions or other isms. So how do we bring all this together? I believe that unlike the private Jewish practice of self-baptism, Christian baptism is a one-time event. It's shared in the context of the community of faith. And it's a beautiful witness. I've already had a parent talk to me this morning saying that they really believe that their child is about ready to take that step to publicly declare Christ and their faith in Christ. And she mentioned that part of that process has been watching others. and understanding that it is a wonderful process of discipleship. The continual communication of the life and the teaching of Jesus, the obedience that should come from that, and then the mandate to disciple the nations that comes with the accompanying promise of the presence of Him who said, "And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." As a further sign of God's presence with us, I've already made reference to the spiritual meal that the Essenes, that the community at Qumran experienced together. We do the same. Just as early Jewish self-baptism evolved and Jesus made it something that was an act of glorification and an example, part of our natural process of discipleship, in like fashion, He took something that was a part of their practice, the Passover meal, and He used it to remind them of the first Passover lamb that was slain, and brought it to the present and said, now here is the Passover lamb. I am the perfect sacrifice. I am the perfect lamb. And when you take of this meal, remember me. When you come together as the body of believers, it's vital that we remember Jesus. Not just something we do once a quarter or whenever. It's vital to remember why we're here. Jesus took the bread and He broke it and He said, this is my body that was broken for you. And He took the cup and He said, this blood is a new covenant. It's a new chance. It's a new relationship. Everything else behind this is led up to this. It has been leading up to this. It's a new covenant, a relationship, a personal relationship with your Creator God through me. So as we come to the table together, and as we break the bread, and as we take the cup, I challenge you to remember. Remember the nature of His sacrifice. A word of practical instruction, we at College Park, we share open communion, which means you don't have to be a member of this church. If you're a believer, we invite you to be a part of the supper as we share it together. As we've already said, He took the bread and He broke it and He gave it to them. He didn't allow them to break it. He chose to break it Himself, just as He chose to give Himself up to be broken. It's always touched me. It's a little thing, but He willingly submitted Himself to be broken. And He said, remember that when you take and you eat. The spilling of blood for the remission of sin. I'm thankful that it was the perfect Son of God who chose to submit Himself as payment so that I don't have to pay that price. That's the nature of the new covenant. Accept Jesus Christ, have a relationship with Him. Then when you fall into sin, you confess, there's forgiveness of sin. That was the nature, that still is the nature of that new covenant. So remember that as you take and as you drink. It's a good time to pause and to remember our relationship with Jesus Christ, to remember our baptism, but also to remember a lot of other things. And there is a covenant with new believers that's just inside your order of service that I'd like to lead us in. I'll be reading the light print if you will join me in reading the bold print. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers for each other and these new believers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ and be faithful to pray for those who are lost?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ by ministering to all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help. These things we covenant together before God. Amen.
We're going to have a hymn to allow you to respond, to what you've witnessed here in worship today, to respond to the calling of the Holy Spirit on your life today, whatever that may be. It may be a first-time decision to receive Christ. It may be a recommitment of your life to be more faithful, to be a bolder witness, whatever God is calling you to today. God may be calling you to be a part of this church in official membership. There are a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. Hymn number 408, This is the Threefold Truth. Would you stand with me? Remain standing. Aaliyah and Michaela, if you would come up here. We're not finished with you yet. Michaela, Pastor Jeff is going to give you a new Bible there and a certificate of your baptism. And Aaliyah, you have a new Bible as well. If you all join me right up here. I know you were up here last week and all the people came by and they hugged your neck and told you how proud they were of you. And usually there's more than a week that goes by between this. But what's going to happen is we're going to ask you to come back and stand or stay right here. How about that? stay right here. We'll put your Bibles on the front. And if you did not have a chance to greet them last week, or if you just want to hug their neck again, they're going to be standing here following the benediction and the choral response. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. It is a beautiful day. It is an opportunity for us to learn more about you. Father, to see God at work, see you at work in these young ladies' lives and the families. Father, we pray that you would just continue to watch over them, that you would continue to use us to disciple all of our children, to raise them up to be bold witnesses for you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.